Check.
Sorry.
Is this normal? So it's me. So everything that I want is on.
Sorry.
So at the risk of repeating the gospel, I want to give you 12 demands that Jesus makes of us in today's scripture. And this is what it sounds like. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Give to everyone who asks. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Lend without expecting anything back. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging. Stop condemning. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given back to you. So, in light of these teachings, let me pose a question to you. Think about a time when you found it genuinely difficult to put into practice any one of these teachings. Why was it difficult? Were you afraid of what it would cost you or what you stand to lose? What would you have gained if you did practice these teachings? And what did you finally do? Folks, I have three brief practical implications for you today to think about. My first point, in the early church, Christianity was not called Christianity, it was called the Way. I find this very telling about the religion that we now call Christianity. It was called the Way. It means that more than anything else, what Jesus began was a movement, a way of life. The reason why it was called the Way, perhaps, was also because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So in one sense, people were following Jesus, literally, but then they were also following the way that Jesus showed. In many ways, I wish we were still called the people of the Way. Yes, folks, Jesus is showing us a way of life. Not just showing, these are commandments. Jesus commands us to follow this way of life. Yes, we are invited literally, really, to love our enemies. To do good to those who hate us. To bless those who persecute us. We are literally called to show mercy in the same way that we experience mercy. It's a way of life. We are called to stop judging. And there's so much of it today. To stop condemning. It's a way of life. So I ask you this question one more time. How are you doing? Secondly, in the early church, Christianity was very subversive and countercultural. See, the early church was an underground movement. They were persecuted. They lived in the catacombs. It was underground and it was subversive in the sense that quietly, deeply, and surely, the way of life that they were living was transforming society. And they did this by following the way that Jesus showed them. So, for example, even though the Christians were brutally persecuted in the early church, you know, thousands were killed. They were thrown to the beasts. They were crucified, some of them. So even though the early Christians were brutally persecuted, there was not one instance of retaliation. Not one instance of weaponization. Not one instance of a strategy for war. Not one. Even the most brutal persecution did not stop the early church from loving their enemies, from doing good to those who hate them, blessing those who curse them, praying for those who persecuted them. In this way, the early church was subversive and countercultural. Now, history shows that there are times in the church when the church lost its way. It got too aligned with the powers that be and lost her edge. There are many times in history where the church has lost its edge, her mission, her gospel message. Aren't we all dealing with this thing we now call the child abuse crisis? Look at what it has done to the church. Folks, we must be aware of the same danger that the church has sometimes committed in history, the danger of watering down the gospel message. We must watch against compromising the gospel for the sake of our politics, our ideologies, our prejudices. No, the gospel must be what we follow because that is the way of Jesus. We must ensure that the church and each one of us constantly maintain a subversive and countercultural presence in the world. Thirdly, I think today's readings really depend on that one phrase that I introduced the Mass with, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. And that's a great story in today's first reading, isn't it? Thank you for reading it so well. Where Saul was carrying out, as it were, a coup against David. And one night, David finds the opportunity to take Saul out. Saul is fast asleep. And Saul and David could have taken the spear, and one thrust of the spear, he could have secured the kingdom. But David doesn't. This is not even New Testament, this is Old Testament. David does not. Rather, he shows mercy. The key to understanding all of today's readings is be merciful just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. In fact, all the teachings, the 12 teachings that I put forward to you, depend on the ability to show mercy. Forgiving your enemies is an act of mercy. Doing good to those who hate you is an act of mercy. Praying for those who persecute you is an act of mercy. Blessing those who curse you is an act of mercy. not judging, not condemning, forgiving others. These are all acts of mercy. Unfortunately, and I don't know if you feel this in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, or not, but in Ohio, right now, you're a very vengeful, vitriolic, spiteful, and bitter society. We are. Believe it or not, but the most gifted item for Christmas for the past few years in a row, do you want to know? Do you want to take a guess? Do you know what it is? Guns. The number one gifted item for Christmas in our nation is guns. Jesus not only teaches us not to be violent, but very contrary, he taught us by example to show mercy. He showed us that forgiving your enemies is possible. That doing good to those who hate you is possible. To forgive those who hate you is possible. He showed us that from the cross. So he didn't just teach us. He actually did it by example and showed us. Whether it is the child in the womb, or it is the immigrant children separated from their parents, whether it is a citizen or a refugee, whether it is the confessional or people on death row, we must be merciful just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. This is why Christianity was called the way, because it's a way of life that Jesus showed us. And it's not easy. So as we celebrate this Eucharist, I'm really inviting us to pray for all of us, especially as a church community, that we can truly follow the way. People of God say, Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, He came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism.